podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome to one of the 10 best English language Fiorentina podcasts on the internet. Welcome to Viola Station.
Welcome back to Viola Station, everyone. We're recording this in the smoldering embers of Fiorentina's defeat at Roma today. And maybe we're going to get into a little bit of that, but we're going to talk a lot more general tactics stuff here. And to help us through that, we are really lucky to have one of the brightest tactical minds in Serie A Twitter, Marco Lai. How are you doing, man? So good to have you on.
Hey, Tito. Thanks for having me. And you're just too kind. I'm not that good.
You are also one of the most modest minds on Serie A Twitter. But yeah, just to get know a little bit about you. I know that you're a certified match analyst, and you've worked for a number of clubs and outlets in Italy. How did you get into that? I'm just really curious.
Actually, I've just started doing tactical analysis, like during the Euros, you know, only analyzing Italy games with a couple of colleagues / friends of mine. And then I just kept doing it. I got my certificate like 3 months ago. So it's actually a very fresh thing. So I was like, nobody to do tactical analysis before. Now I'm someone, but actually I'm just still nobody. And I don't know, I just find my way, you know. I didn't know what to do like a couple of months ago. I was like in between writing about football and doing tactical analysis, and now let's see what the future reserves me. I hope to get like a chance in a football team, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, for very selfish reasons, I hope you don't, because I imagine you wouldn't be able to post as many threads and update your Substack as often, which would be disappointing for me. But yeah, I really hope you do get that. But yeah, man, since you do have that certificate, you're the expert here. Just a couple of things to talk about with Fiorentina specifically right now. And the first thing, I think especially after this Roma game where Dodo got sent off for 2 yellow card fouls in the first 24 minutes, both probably fouls. First one maybe a little soft, we can argue that, but definitely deserve to be sent off, I think. So the first thing I want to bring up with you is Fiorentina, they play a very high defensive line usually, and they really have to man mark at the back and in midfield. So as a result, right, if someone loses their man, there's a lot of free space and the defenders are put under a lot of pressure. Do you think there's a better way to organize that for a high pressing team?
Well, it's always hard to talk about what's better or what's worst in football. I think that Fiorentina's approach, it's quite, you know, brave in a way. Last season, Fiorentina was one of the best teams, I think, in Europe to watch. And this season, they're kind of trying the same approach, but they're not getting the same results. And that's, I don't, like, there are many reasons because of for that. But some of it has to do with individual performances. I think, as you said, defenders are quite exposed in an approach like that, and they're not performing in the best way. So, I don't know. I think that it all has to do with what the players do in front, because defense is not just about the defenders. It's all about the complex structure of a team. And I think that one of the main problems of Fiorentina this season is that they're not as, I don't know how to say, the cohesion is not perfect. There's too much space between each line. So the other teams actually are more dangerous than they should in the counterattack. For example, last season it wasn't like that. Also, like looking at numbers, I like to look at numbers too. Fiorentina is actually conceding less expected goals, so they're defending better, but the chance that they are conceding are actually more dangerous, you know. So there are several factors to concede to think about. I don't know. I think that Amrabat is doing a great job, but he's basically like the only man.
Yeah, very much. Yeah. I think that's a great point that criticizing the defense or the midfield doesn't really make sense because they're all part of a larger team, especially in a team that does press so much. I think Fiorentina are leading on understat, at least. I think they're first or second in Serie PPDA. A in PPDA. So they're, exactly. Man, I don't know why I'm telling you. So they're clearly working really hard without the ball, and that does start at the front. I think maybe having someone like Luka Jovic up there, who's frequently not very active without the ball, probably doesn't help. Do you think that replacing him with Christian Kwame or Arthur Cabral once he's healthy, would really fix a lot of things further back as well?
To be honest, I think that Jovic is the worst one. In that kind of approach. He's more like a poacher, you know? He's not really good in the build-up either. Probably I'd pick Arthur over him, though I know he's kind of injured right now, like a month or two.
Yeah.
So probably I would pick Kwame over him because Kwame is actually very, you know, active in pressing. So yeah, that's a great point, to be honest. If your striker is not really, really good at pressing and your entire tactical approach is built around pressing high, you know, that's not going to be easy for the rest of the team.
No, that's, I mean, do you think that, I mean, with Arthur hurt right now, Jovic sort of has to play at least somewhat. Do you think that maybe pressing less and sitting a little bit deeper to help offset Jovic's lack of work rate would help? Or do you think that would just have too many negative effects for the rest of the team, for the way that they play, for Italiano's entire philosophy?
Well, this is, you know, like an interesting discussion because I really like Italiano's approach. I do think that is, I know how to say it, a bit dogmatic maybe. He's not really into changing approach. I do like when the managers try to be a little more versatile, you know, trying to change according to the characteristics of the opponent, the weaknesses, their strengths. But I do think that if you're trying to change everything, the whole approach, that's going to be hard for the team, especially if I think about Igor. I don't know, he's like the first main that can pop to mind. Igor, in my opinion, is a good player. He's good with the ball. He's good at pressing high. But if you try to sit deeper and play, you know, like more defensively in a way, he's going to struggle a lot. And I think that you could probably say that for others players too. So I don't know. Maybe try to be a bit less aggressive, but not changing entirely.
So really just looking for different pressing triggers and waiting for a little longer to spring them, you think might help a lot?
I mean, there are very different ways to press, you know. Fiorentina is probably, as we said, statistics wise, the most high pressing team in the league. And you could just try to press high, but not that high, not that intensely. I mean, usually Fiorentina tries to mark the opponent fullback with your fullback. And that's very brave in a way, but also very risky. So you could try to change something and have the, you know, like the winger go there. So, you know, maybe you have a little more balance. And that's something you could try to do.
Yeah, and I feel like we have seen some of that. Italiano has tried a few times to do that very modern lopsided approach where one fullback, usually Cristiano Baraghi, which is strange because he's such a crosser of the ball, that he sits a little bit deeper in build-up and then overlaps much later while Dodo presses higher up. And so I feel like he's trying things like that. But, I mean, as we just saw with Dodo pressing higher up on Zalewski, one-on-one, that doesn't always work out very well for Fiorentina, I would say. But I think that's really really my question there. So with the striker, though, do you think that there's any of the strikers you've seen linked to Fiorentina in the rumors, in the transfer rumors, do you think any of them are a good fit?
Can you tell me some names? I don't know any of them, actually.
I think that Andrea Belotti has been probably the biggest one.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, that face makes me think you're interested. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Belotti is a little bit underappreciated. He's not doing great at Rome because he's not playing, literally. But I think that he's a great pressing attacker, striker. He's really good at that. He's big. He can, like play as the sole striker. And he's also better technically as people think. He's a good assist man. But at least he became one. So yeah, I think Belotti would be like the perfect striker for Italiano. So just get Belotti, let him score once, and then you're good to go.
I really hope that Daniele Prade and Joe Barone are listening to us right now, because that would be fantastic. I agree with you. I would love to see them make a move for Belotti, especially since he'd probably be available for a very cheap loan right now, just looking at the finances. But yep. Like you said, getting him that one goal, we've seen Fiorentina strikers this year not really doing a whole lot.
My God. Yeah.
So that's a very understated. And I think a lot of that has been Fiorentina's approach is so much playing up the wings and crossing. They've been unable to really build anything through the middle, I think. And I'm very interested in asking, now that Italiano has tilted his midfield triangle from a holder and then two Mezzale to more of a double pivot and a number 10. Do you think that the number 10 needs to contribute more in the buildup? Do you think that would help them build through the middle more instead of pushing everything out wide?
Well, I think that pushing everything out wide is more like a side effect. I'm sure Italiano doesn't want that. In a way, it's helpful, especially because Fiorentina always try to, better than me, build up with at least one of the fullbacks tucked in. So you have a free open passing lane to the winger for a one against one. But yeah, I don't think Italiano wants to play so much on the wings. I'm sure he wants his team to attack through the half spaces. And yeah, honestly, I'm not sure what Fiorentina should do in order to, have better chances. I think Fiorentina actually plays quite well until they get to the final third, and that's where problems begin. And I'm not sure Italiano has anything to do with that, because when you get to the final third, you need players. You need players to take the right chances. Right choices, and that's what Guardiola says, so if Guardiola says it, that must be true. But I think that one of the problems in the final third is that Fiorentina is a little bit too static, easy to read for the opponents, and probably one of the problems is that Fiorentina really doesn't have a creative midfielder. Bonaventura kind of is, but not really. In my opinion, it's better when he has the freedom to invade the opponent's box. But if he has to do like the number 10 job, he can do that, but he's not the best. So probably you need something there, because I don't know, like when Malay used to play, Malay is good at invading, but no technical abilities. When you play with Amrabat and Duncan, they're really good, like really physical, good at duels. But they're not that great technically. And I know Duncan because Duncan played for Cagliari, so I know Duncan quite well. So yeah, I think that what you need is players there. The manager actually is not accountable for that part of the game, in my opinion. You need players to take the right choices.
And do you think that having Gaetano Castrovilli is going to help that? Do you think that he can become that creative passer? Or do you see him as more of a dribbler and another... driver from that middle third into the final third?
Yeah, I don't think it's the best one. I'm not a great fan of Castrovilli's decision making. I don't think he's like that smart of a player, if you know what I mean. He's a great carrier, great dribbler, but apart from that, no, he's like a perfect mezzala, but I don't know. I'm not fully sold.
Oh, that's fair. I think you're not the only one. And then Anthony Barak, yeah, too, very creative player, yeah, but seems like he's very peripheral a lot of the time, not very involved, and frequently likes to drift wide. I'm wondering, too, Because the number 10 seems like is, like you said, frequently floating into the half spaces to create and try to interchange with the wingers and then find that third run from the fullback or from the striker, the winger free. And then there's just no presence in the middle. I mean, do you think that there's a, do you think that maybe finding more of a box to box player that instead of Amrabat and Duncan, who both like to sit a little bit deeper to really make those runs into the top of the box late, do you think that would help? Or maybe dropping Bonaventura a little further back? We've seen Italiano experiment with that over the past few weeks too.
Well, in my opinion, it's not really a matter of playing the creative player deeper. I think, as I said before, Fiorentina actually is good when they play like in the first 70 meters of the pitch. The problem is the final third. So you have to put the creative players in the final third of the pitch. So yeah, I'm not a great fan of the Amrabat Duncan duo for the reason I explained earlier. So probably you only need a more creative midfielder. I don't know. I don't have any names right now, maybe from big teams that players that are not playing that much. But yeah, I think that what you need is a player that has the right decision-making, who can make that final pass, you know? So I don't know. I think that you need to find someone on the market, because I don't see any player right now in the roster that can fill that role.
Oh, that's fair. I think that's probably a pretty good read on the situation. I'm with you all the way, actually. But if we're talking about good decision-making, I think the other thing about Fiorentina's attack that's really stood out to me is that when play does get forced out wide, it seems like Italiano's secondary attacking tactic is to just rely on his wingers to win a 1v1 battle quite a lot. And with Jonathan Ikone, obviously, he can win those one-on-one battles. But then I have this theory that every step he gets closer to the goal, his brain takes a step further away from the goal. And it's
talking about decision making.
Yeah, it just the closer he gets, the worse he is. And he'd be the world's greatest fullback at progressing the ball. But he's just a mess when he gets into the final third. Do you think that maybe having Nico Gonzalez back or Ricardo Sotil, guys who can be a little more decisive, would that help fix some of the problems with the 10 not being creative?
Well, I was just about to talk about Nico Gonzalez. I think that it was a huge absence during the season because he might be the best player of Fiorentina, maybe along with Amrabat. I think that also Argentina needed Nico Gonzalez, but, you know, they won anyway, so no worries about it. I think that Nico Gonzalez is, without any doubt, the best Fiorentina player off ball. You know, we were talking earlier about that, the need for that creative player who makes that right decision, but you also need the player that makes that run to receive that pass. And I think you don't have any players apart from Nico Gonzalez to do that. Also Sotil, that I know very well because he played in Cagliari too. He's a great dribbler, great one-on-one player, really physical, really, really fast, but decision-making, not the best. And, you know, so probably Nico Gonzalez is what you need. I don't know if he's going to Leicester or not. I read the news, but I've seen that he played. He subbed in. So I hope Nico Gonzalez stays, because if Nico Gonzalez is healthy, that's a huge asset, you know. Also mentally, a sound player mentally. So yeah, you need Nico Gonzalez, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the fact that he scored that winner of that winning penalty against Sassuolo in stoppage time after coming on as a sub, right after he missed a very easy header too, shows exactly how strong he is mentally. And yeah, I mean, hopefully he does stick around. We've heard all kinds of reports about Leicester taking him or not taking him. Who knows? Do you think that trying to play him as the 10 would help? I mean, at least it would give those deeper midfielders or Jack Bonaventura, someone else, another runner to find in behind?
Well, I don't think so. In my opinion, he has to be the receiver, the end receiver of the play, not the one that makes the play. So yeah, I don't like him there. I think that his best position for him is on the wing, but you know, like tucking in from the wing. Yep, that's the best position for him.
Yeah, that All right, that makes a lot of sense. So definitely finding a more active striker and a more creative number 10 are the two priorities right now. Yeah, right. And it's so simple. And there's no other team in the world looking for those two things, right? So it'll be very easy. I think
you just need Odegaard, I've seen Arsenal today, so he scored. You need a Martin Odegaard there.
Oh, well, that's very easy to find. Yeah, I'm sure Fiorentina can buy him from Arsenal. And I think the last thing that we've seen a lot of questions about, I think in our website's comments from fans, is the inverted wingers. So I think it does funnel a lot of things further in a lot of the time. Do you think that maybe having the wingers play on their quote-unquote natural sides, so left-footed on the left, right-footed on the right, would stretch play more and pull defenses wider and make more spaces for someone like Bonaventura to attack?
Well, I personally do like asymmetrical approach, with one winger staying wide and one winger coming inside. And I think that maybe Saponara is a good player from that point of view. He's creative enough. He knows how to deliver that final pass. Maybe you can find what you're looking for in Saponara on the left. Maybe Saponara and Nico Gonzalez is not a bad pair, but probably you lack some one-on-one because it's not their best skill. I mean, Saponara always moves inside. He never tries to go for the one-on-one on the wing. So I don't know. Fiorentina has many different archetypes of wingers, and it's actually hard to find the right pair, but maybe Saponara can do that job, but I don't know. It's not an easy job for Italiano.
Would you consider playing Saponara as the 10? I know he doesn't do the defensive work as much, but do you think that he has the creativity to run the attack from the middle?
It's not a bad idea. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. It's actually quite easy, in my opinion, to cover for the lack of pressing from a number 10, especially if you have Amrabat behind him who can mark three men at a time. So it might be an option. It might be an option. It's not a bad idea.
Fair. All right. And then I think the last thing I really was curious about was Fiorentina's mentality. And I'm sure you're aware, Fiorentina fans are always wondering about the team's mentality. Do they have the grinta enough? I mean, in a post Beppe Iacchini world, is there enough grinta, right? And I think the two things that people are really talking about when they bring that up are how often Fiorentina concede late goals, which we saw today against Roma, and then how often they concede right after they score, which we've seen against Monza and Sassuolo in the past couple of weeks. Do you think is that a tactical thing at all? Or is there anything a manager can do there? Or is that just on the players more than anything?
To be honest, I'm not sure. Maybe the thing that opponents score right after Fiorentina scores might be tactical in a way, because you're not well shaped in that moment, because it's not really an open play, so maybe you really don't know who you have to mark in that situation, but I'm not sure, honestly. Well, for the late goals, probably that's to the problem is the fact that Fiorentina presses so high, it's so intense, and sometimes players are just going to be tired from all that running. So I think that's just the problem, In fact, I think that you need to close games earlier so then you could just, not be that tired. At least you can be tired, but two goals up. So it's not a problem to be that tired.
Yeah, scoring more goals earlier would definitely help that quite a bit.
But it's a bit of a problem scoring for Fiorentina. So,
and it has been for a long time too, I think. I think so. You really do think it's just a matter of it's such a strange game state from a kickoff, basically. After Fiorentina score, the other team takes a kickoff, and it's just such an odd situation in the build up. No one's quite sure where to get sorted to. where they should be?
Yeah, it's the only thing that comes to mind, honestly, but I'm not sure. Actually, I didn't know that. I knew about late goals, but I didn't really notice about this conceding a goal just after scoring one. So I don't know. Really, nothing comes to my mind, honestly, just the shape thing, but I don't know. I'm not sold on it either, so I don't
know. No, that's I mean, I have absolutely no idea either, so I think you're right on the money there. And then I guess the last thing is set pieces. I think Fiorentina in the past have been really good at set pieces. I mean, having Gianni Viol for a few years under Cesare Prandelli the first time around, I think we got a little bit spoiled. But even after that, they've been really good from set pieces. And this year, I think they've scored 2 goals all year from set pieces in all competitions, which seems very strange when you've got Nikola Milenkovic and Christian Kouame, who's an incredible leaper, and Arthur Cabral, who's big, Luka Jovic is big, Nico Gonzalez is good in the air. Is that just a matter of designing better set pieces, or is there something else, do you think?
It might be a matter of not being lucky enough, you know, because I was looking at stats earlier, and I've seen that actually Fiorentina is creating way more expected goal from set pieces than last year. Probably it has to do with the fact that, you know, like if you make 300 crosses per game, you actually are going to have many corners and many chances. But I think it's just a matter of luck, to be honest. You also have Biraghi, who's a great crosser, you know, from time to time. He's good at crossing anyway. Yeah, I think it's just that. But honestly, I think that set pieces are not, you know, like worked enough. People do not work enough on that. Just the thing. I was thinking about that during the course for my certificate, we had as guest Andreazzoli, you know, Aurelio Andreazzoli, and he was the first to say that he doesn't actually work enough on set pieces, and I think that's quite common, honestly. So yeah, maybe just, you know, have a Gianni Viol per team. Might help Fiorentina too.
I mean, what's that statistic that they bring out every major tournament during the Euros and the World Cup, that something like 40% of goals are scored from set piece situations? So teams should spend 40% of their attacking training on set pieces.
I don't remember the precise number, but it's actually very important. Set pieces are so important. So yeah, I don't know why. I don't know, I find them boring. I'm the first one that actually doesn't cover set pieces like ever. I'm not really good at understanding set pieces. So I don't know, maybe just a matter of being not fun enough. I don't know.
So the secret is making set pieces more fun.
Yeah, precisely. All right, got it.
No, I loved it. All right, I want so many more training ground dummies, fake wall. Oh, that would be so good. I would love that. All right. I think that's pretty much everything we have. I think you actually answered all of my questions that I could think up there. So, Marco, thank you so much for coming on, man. This has been really cool. It's been really cool to hear your opinions, and I feel like I've got a lot more to think about watching Fiorentina now.
Yeah, it's so much fun. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you. And everyone, follow Marco. He's on Twitter, at MarcoLie_23. You should also subscribe to his Substack, which I've found to be actually really good, really thoughtful pieces about coaching and about calcio and just the game itself. I think it's the same name on Substack, right? Marco Lai.
No, it's you can find it as Bold Don't Lie, but Lai is written as my surname.
LAI. Perfect. Ah, there it is. Thank you. Yeah. So definitely check those out. And Marco, thanks again, and take care.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks for listening to Viola Station, the podcast from Viola Nation. Viola Nation is a website in the SB Nation network. You can find us at violanation.com or on Twitter at @Viola_Nation. Huge thanks to Windchime Weather for the music and to producer Mike for producing. Feel free to rate and review us on whatever service you're listening on, and Forza Viola.
Sports Social Podcast Network.